to Living Springtime from Amazing Love Assembly Enugu with Bishop Amechi Nwachukwu ministering.
Today we continue on the reflections in the life of Jonah. Jonah failed God, and his failure affected others. There need never be a distress on that voyage. There need never be a tempest. There was no need for them to throw away their possessions over the ship and into the sea, throwing away cargo. There was never any need for them to be in the kind of anxiety they were. But they found themselves in that kind of anxiety because somebody who was supposed to represent the Almighty God, somebody who was supposed to be a harbinger of truth and light, somebody who was supposed to be a symbol of righteousness, was otherwise. Jonah's disobedience caused so much distress in that Jonah chapter 1. Adam sinned and the whole of mankind lost our premier position. Thank God for Calvary and for redemption. You know, it is not we are still looking at the life of David and said, what we need to do, if you find out that, hey, I am the man who, Okwamuwa be Ishinjin, I'm the head of the home, yes, you are the head of the home, you are the Ishinjin, okay, correct. What kind of problems are you attracting, or what kind of solutions are you bringing? Are you part of the problem, or are you part of the problem, are you part of the solution? So many people, inadvertently, and some consciously like Jonah, refuse to obey God, refuse, you know, when somebody decides to serve Satan, when he has seen the light of God, you bring problem to your home, you bring problem to your community, you bring problem to your nation. It is righteousness that exalts a nation, that exalts a people, that exalts a family, and exalts a church. Jonah failed God. If it stuck with him, nobody would have really minded, nobody would have worried. But if you read the story in the book of Jonah, you saw the mariners afraid, terrified, throwing cargo overboard, all of them crying frantically, seeking answers, because there was one man somewhere who say that God's command will not be obeyed. You know, it teaches us that you cannot just disobey God and expect that there will be no consequences. It doesn't follow. Whatever you think is the word of God, you know, here many people will tell you that the Bible says, do it unto others as you will lie them to do unto you. Oh yeah, that is the golden rule. I agree. Golden rule. Call it anything you like. You love others as you like them to love you. Let me assure you, if you don't love God, you cannot really love others. You can't. The love you have for others must take its measure and standard. You may have concern, you may have interest, you may have whatever else you want to do with people, but if you are going to have genuine love for people as you like them to love you, hear the word, the command. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your power. And the next commandment, Jesus said, is like that. Love your neighbor as yourself. The love for neighbor does not precede the love of God. Say, what do you mean, Mr. Preacher? Exactly what I said. But doesn't the word of God say that how can you claim you love God if you don't love your neighbor? That it is when you show you love your neighbor, then you prove you love God. For how can you love God whom you don't see when you don't love your neighbor? Exactly. You are right in the quotation, but you are wrong in the application. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your power. It is that, from that love of God, that love for man can flow unimpaired, unhindered. So that what you are giving is not the idea of the usage of people, the manipulation, the things that you claim you love them, just maybe you need them one way or the other, but there's not genuine love. Love is the amount of pain we are willing to bear for the object of love. Genuine love can only flow when our heart had known what it means to love the Lord. Jonah failed God. And we'll see what happened in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 24. What happened to Samuel. And that story of Samuel about David. Again, the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. We are told that David decided, so the king said to Joab, the commander of the army, who was with him, now go throughout all the tribes of Israel from Dan to Beersheba, count the people that I may know the number of the people. And Joab said to the king, now may the Lord your God add to the people 100 times over, more than they are, and may the eyes of my lord the king see it. But why does my lord the king desire this thing? The commander told him, sir, what we are trying to do does not conform to the commandment of God, who said, don't number my people. And by the way, a king is not saved by the vastness of his army or of his population. Victory comes from the Lord. So what are you trying to do? Since when did you start depending on your armies to save you, David? How can you do that? Don't try that. Verse 4. Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab and against the captains of the army. Therefore, Joab and the captains of the army went out from the presence of the king to count the people. They crossed over. Verse 8. So when they had gone through all the land, they came to Jerusalem at the end of 9 months and 20 days. Then Joab gave the sum of the number of the people to the king. Verse 10. 2 Samuel 24. And David's heart condemned him after he had numbered the people. So David said to the Lord, I have sinned greatly in what I have done. But now I pray, O Lord, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. David was quick to come to repentance. You know, Jonah didn't. Jonah didn't really come to repentance until he'd been swallowed by a big fish. And right inside the belly of a fish, that was when Jonah actually prayed. Remember chapter 1? He didn't find it necessary to pray when the people were having tempest, loss of cargo, distress. Anything could happen. Apathetic. He couldn't care less. It's only when he had the trauma inside the belly of a fish that he turned to the Lord in prayer. Maybe we need to look at that in Jonah chapter 1 again to acquaint ourselves with what we are doing. Jonah chapter 1. And in that chapter 1 and verse 17 we read, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And listen, the ensuing verses, chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. See his conclusions in Jonah chapter 2 verse 8. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the mercies that could be theirs. Jonah did not pray until there had been a calamity, a crisis of unimaginable proportion, falling on others who had no reason to suffer, being upon him, and then that was when he prayed. You know, some people never listen to God. In the words of C.S. Lewis, trials, crises, and difficulties becomes God's megaphone so that they can hear God. When you only hear God in crisis, when you are sick, you promise God everything. God, if I come out from this sick body, God, if I survive this thing that they are chasing me and saying that I took money I didn't take, God, if I come out here, I will give you a good thanksgiving. God, oh my God, God, don't you ever, God, when you did, no, look, God is not a child, you are not deceiving him. He knows you are not honest. He knows that these things you are promising, you will not do it. The last ones you promised, you didn't do it. But he will deliver you, hear me, because God loves you. And he does not delight in the death of a sinner, but that they will come to repentance and leave. You know, so many people will make promises they will never keep. Jonah prayed only because there was problem. Let's still look on to the contrast as we look at the life of David. 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 11. Now when David arose in the morning, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, "Go and tell David, thus says the Lord, I offer you three things because of the things you have done. Choose one of them for yourself that I may do it to you, O God." I'd like you to listen carefully. God says, "I want to do certain things to you. Choose. I, the Lord, will do." Now, if somebody is doing you, whom do you pray to? God. All right. Now, when God is the one doing you, whom do you pray to? If an answer body. That is when you know that, listen, the motor of the tire is finished. The whole thing is gone. And you know, he told David, "Choose one, and I'll do it to you." So God said to David, told him, he said to him, "Shall 7 years of famine come to you and your land? Or shall you flee 3 months before your enemies while they pursue you? Or shall there be 3 days plague in your land? Now consider and see what answer I should take back to him who sent me." Alomelo. You know, when people in position fail God by misrule and mischaracterization, they bring disaster upon their land and upon anywhere that has failed of influence. That's what is happening to so many countries. Bad leadership, bad rulership, bad management of churches, bad management of communities, bad management of schools, and so many world places today, including our land. You know, God told him, "Do you want 7 years of famine chasing you?" Hunger is a terrible thing. And so, you know, this is what happened, and this is the situation here. And then God told him, "Or do you want your enemies to pursue you?" Hey! That one was a nightmare for David. All manifesting as all genuine. Ha. Pursuing you, Abraham, in Kane, Mazin, and Achonyam. Saul made it a full time duty, 24 hours. Or one modern day, I see 24/7. On actually, David. He was trained and determined to get David. So his enemies to pursue him again. David had known the misery of being a persona non grata, to be targeted and told all over the newspaper, wanted dead or alive, for the reason. And then, what was the other option? That, now consider what I may do, or shall I 3 days? And David said to God, "I am in great distress." Truly, sir. "Please, let us fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, but do not let us fall into the hand of man," as a wise man. Oh God. Thank God. God is God and man is not God.
If a human being,
when a human being with wickedness bathes your hair with wickedness, no hair will grow there. May God have mercy. And David realized that the best thing was, let me fall into the hands of man, into the hands of God, instead of the hand of man. Why all this? Because somebody who was supposed to be like Jonah decided to live wrongly. And so what did he bring upon his son? So the Lord sent a plague and there upon the people, from Dan to Beersheba, 70,000 people died. 70,000. Because somebody, somewhere, like Jonah, failed to be what God had called him to be. And it brought so much pain, so much death, so much suffering. How many people in positions like Jonah have brought so much pain and so much sorrow to churches? How many people like Jonah have brought so much pain, so much death, so much backsliding to the people of God? How many people like Jonah in positions of authority have brought so much disaster, so much ruin to their country, to their state, to their local government area, to the sections of banks, schools, anywhere, medical institutions that they control, universities? How many people? You know, if what the individuals did affected them and only them, nobody would mind. How many fathers have brought ruin and generation curses to their family? The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that the curse of the Lord is upon the house of the wicked. How many people have brought generation curses to themselves? I didn't want generation curses. All things are passed away. Now, God, you're going one time for you now. Miss you. You can be deceiving yourself. Just be deceiving yourself. Go on. Jesus cursed a fig tree, but that is part of the Old Testament. We don't believe in curses now. He became a curse that all of us will no longer have any problem. All of us are. My friend, just a word for you. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And the greatest tragedy about today's modern quote and unquote Christianity is presumption. Presumption is the counterfeit of faith. And so many have big things that are out there running amok and causing so much ruin on the life of people. When the Bible said we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers. For to admit this erroneous teaching will even be to nullify all the prophecies of God. But you know, getting back to what you're saying, here was David. He sinned, and in his ruin, in his problem, in his challenge, 70,000 people, men with families. Suddenly 70,000 women became widows. Okay, it's not all of them were not married. Any number you like. Children fatherless overnight. Why? One man they called David somewhere who happened to be in the position of power, the king, decided to conduct a census that God had told them in Numbers and other places you shouldn't do. Jonah decided to run from the presence of God. What happened? There was crisis in the ship. There was tempest. There was storm. There were problems. But unlike Jonah, David sought the face of the Lord. If you go back to our study in that 2 Samuel, you notice, and God came by the threshing floor and God met him, if you remember the story very well. 2 Samuel chapter 24. God came out that way and said to David, go back to your... And the threshing floor of Arauna, the Jebusite. So David, according to the word of the Lord, went up as the Lord commanded. And he went, you know the rest of the story, how he bought the threshing floor, how David, Arauna said, why has my Lord come, the king, to be? And David said, to buy the threshing floor from you, to build an altar to the Lord, that the plague may be withdrawn from the people. Verse 22. Now Arauna said to David, let my lord the king take the offering, offer up whatever good to him. Look, here are the oxen for burnt sacrifices and threshing implements and the yoke of the oxen for wood. You know, all these, O King Arauna, has given to the king. And Arauna said to the king, may the Lord your God accept you. Then the king said to Arauna, no, I will surely buy it from you for a price. Nor will I offer burnt offering to the Lord my God with that which cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor, the oxen for 50 shekels of silver, and David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offering, peace offering. So the Lord heeded the prayers for the land, and the plague was withdrawn from Israel. You know, that's where David distinguishes himself. Like Jonah, there was a disobedience that caused so much problem for others that need not have it. Unlike Jonah, he saw the face of the Lord, repented, and the Lord also removed the crisis. Of course, you know, reflecting on Jonah, we saw that guy never even had any repentance. In fact, as far as he was concerned, even when God of his own volition granted the people reprieve, Jonah was so annoyed, so angry. Have you found out that as a child of God, you are the one causing the backward moving in Azuafia Manini Zunorino? Imano. Some Christians cause problems and then they turn around and ask what is going on. Here you are working for somebody, but you're unfaithful. Your unfaithfulness is probably going to cause more problem than just an unbeliever being unfaithful. To whom much is given, I say to you, much is required. And that's the word of God. So you realize that when people like Jonah, called by God, sent by God, decides to go the other direction. Look at what happened, as we told you in the story of Paul. Paul entered the place, prayed, and God granted reprieve to all fellow passengers because there was one obedient child of God. Even when there was shipwreck, there was still peace. David committed the same offense, the same error of disobedience and reckless action, yet he saw the Lord. I'm asking you, how many times will the Lord rebuke you? How many times will the Lord chastise you before you retrace your steps? Are you not tired? Can't you see that you are causing so much trouble all around? Why not, for the sake of others, retrace your steps? The same bad may go on. We used to have people in those days when I was growing up. He doesn't kill himself anything. Just this issue. With a knife, he'll be pushing it as he's killing nothing. He'll not kill himself. Because if he killed himself on Monday, he'll not come out on Tuesday. No. It's a means of whacking food. So it's important for you to understand what is the issue. Come back to God. Get to repent. Repent and let him have compassion. David came to God. And I tell you one thing. We have a living God who's merciful, compassionate. God is asking you, wherever you are, instead of being part of the problem, seek to provide solution. If you are not a child of God, you can. When you ally yourself with Jesus Christ, you become part of the solution. He said, I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. But the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You can align yourself with God's interest. Identify whatever is God's interest on any matter. And align yourself with it. That is victory. That is safety. I pray to God today that instead of continuing in disobedience, like the prodigal, you come back to your senses and return back to God. So there will be peace and refreshing. I pray also that if you are not a child of God, you join me in this prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, I surrender my life to you. I repent of sins. Lord, forgive me. Save me. And make me your child. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you pray this prayer, I tell you, God in heaven is waiting. He's heard you. Get to the nearest Bible-teaching, Bible-believing church and tell the vicar there that you pray to receive Christ. And the man on the television asks you to see him for follow-up. They will follow you up. Don't forget to join us next week as we continue Reflections on the Book of Jonah. God bless you.